Good morning to everyone. A few weeks ago, there was a big controversy in what's colloquially called the Haredi community because a very famous coffee shop in Israel called Kofix opened up in one of the more, as we call it, ultra-religious neighborhoods here in Israel. And the... See, if I don't say the name, it's on purpose. It's in order not to identify. But yes, the truth is, Kofix is a coffee shop that offers coffee at a very, very reduced price. And it's all around Israel. And this one's Kasher LeMahadrin. And you can look on the internet and see it. And you can see who gives the kashrus to it. And from kashrus' point of view, there's no issue. There's no shaila.
But Sandy's family?
Who?
Sandy's?
I have no idea. In any case, I hope not. In any case... Kofix is a wonderful establishment, and it's kosher, and there's no issue here. The issue began with the fact that a bunch of rabbanim got up and said that this is not right. People are doing something that's awful. What are they doing that's so awful?
Drinking caffeine.
Drinking caffeine, they didn't say.
Mazik?
Masik
gvul.
Mesig gvul. No, that wasn't Hasakas gvul. There was no other coffee shop that was there within the perimeter. Does anyone here know what the issue was? The issue was very interesting. The issue was as follows. The issue is a beautiful Gemara that we have at the end of the first perek in Kiddushin. A Gemara that, because it's at the end of the first perek and you're getting into the second perek, many of people just, you know, run through it because when you're at the end, you don't really look at the movie anymore. But if you look at these source sheets, you'll see that the Gemara says something very interesting. And there's indeed two big shilas with regard to eateries like Kofix in general that we have to deal with. The first one we're going to deal with today and maybe next week. And the second one has to do with brachot. But leaving the blessings aside, what bracha do you make and how many brachas you make when you start eating in one place and go to another? Right. Let's deal with the first issue. If you look on the right side of your source sheets, Meseches Kiddushin, Daf Mem Amud Bet 40b. Yes, Bruce, I said nothing and you have a question.
Is this any takeout environment where you're tasting and taking and it's simply traveling with food while you're eating?
Ah, very good. Tana Rabban and our rabbis taught, Ha'ochel Bashuk, one who eats in the marketplace. In other words, not one that sits at a table and eats, but one that's eating as he's walking. One that's eating in the marketplace. It's like a dog. A dog eats a bone when he walks around, and you're a human being. Instead of being a dignified human being eating at a table with a fork and a knife and a proper napkin on your lap so you don't make your pants dirty and make the dry cleaners rich, you go ahead and you eat on the go. Now, if it said you're like a dog, I wouldn't necessarily go for the gas pipe on Kofix. Why? Because you can call me a dog. It doesn't really make a difference to me. You know, Hebrew's beautiful because there's really no curse words in Hebrew. Hebrew's such a holy language that every word that people curse with is actually a word out of the Chumash. It's very interesting. I remember when we came to Israel, someone called someone a chamor, a donkey. I thought, oh, a donkey, that's okay. When they translated it into English saying Jack and I won't continue, then I understood the curse. But chamor is a word in the Chumash. Ayal utzviach v'chamor. In any case, if you say you're a kelev, all right, I'm a dog. You know, many times in the Gemara it says you're like a dog. We have to take it to heart. We have to analyze the statement. But all it said was you're like a dog. If it said this, I would be okay. The next statement is my problem. V'yesh omrim, and some say, in other words, the Amoraim, these rabbis sitting in the base medrash, some of them said that if you eat on the go, pasul le'idut. Would anyone like to translate that statement?
You can't be a witness.
You're disqualified from being a witness. Just remind me for the record, who's disqualified from being witnesses in halacha, in
gamblers,
Jewish law? Gamblers, liars, cheaters, mechalalei Shabbos. Eating on the go is one of those. Now comes the part where you'll go for the gas pipe. Amar Rav Idi Baravin, halacha ki yesh omrim. Many a times the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion. Here is a conclusion. The halacha is in accordance with this, not minority view, but certain point of view, that if you eat on the go, not only are you like a dog, you are disqualified from being a witness. Okay, Bruce.
Might this be a perfect example of halacha in historical context, where for some reason at that time, this was viewed a terrible activity. And today it's so common that it doesn't even cross our mind. And therefore, I don't say ignore it.
Are you saying the words of Chazal are not relevant today?
These words may not.
These words are not relevant.
May not be.
Uh-huh. So when you print a tractate of Masechet Kiddushin, are you gonna go ahead and censor out these words?
Not censor. Just there should be a note saying when girls were married at 3, we don't do that anymore. You don't have to say it. It's known we don't.
Okay.
When they say Betulim grow back,
I know Bruce is not saying. For the record, all those listening around the world that never met Bruce, Bruce is not an apikoros. He believes in every word of Chazal. He just wants to understand the Gemara because he's bothered by it. Had he not be bothered by it, he'd say this is Narishkeit goodbye. And because he's not so bothered by it, he's asking his questions, and your questions are very good. We'll get to it. Mm-hmm. Give me a little time. The Yerushalmi, as you know, there's a Babylonian Talmud and Yerushalmi Talmud. In Masechet Ma'asrot, Paragimel subdivision 2, the Yerushalmi is not like the Bavli, where you have a page, A and B. It's divided up differently, and it's very hard to find things. But local, usually we say Paragimel Halacha Bet, like we say when we talk about a Rambam. Here it's Paragimel Halacha Bet. I like to say subdivision 2. Itane Itane. There's some rabbis that said She'en shvachol shel tamid chacham liyot ochel bashuk. What's the difference between the Babylonian version and the Yerushalmi version?
The Yerushalmi basically saying that a normal person, a person who's not a tamid chacham, can eat in the street.
Are you saying that tamid chacham are abnormal? No, I'm joking. I just had to put that in. Tamidei Chachamim have to be normal. For the record, we as you know, devoted a whole year to being normal around this table. So you're absolutely right. That the Gemara is saying in the Yerushalmi that only it's not nice for a Talmid Chacham, not usher, but not shvachol, not praiseworthy for a Talmid Chacham to be eating outside in the marketplace. And then the Gemara goes on, Kahadei Rabbi Eleza bar Rabbi Shimon, Haveyacha b'shuka. This particular Tana or Amora was eating in the shuk. Chamate Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir got very mad at him. Amarle, he told him, Beshuka atachil vatel garmai. He said, you're eating in the marketplace, you're a Talmid Chacham. And he stopped. And indeed, when the Rambam codifies the law, we'll see later how he codifies the Babylonian version, but when he codifies the law in Hilchot Deot, where he talks about how a Talmud Chacham should conduct himself, how a Talmudic scholar should conduct himself, he says, Kishasha Chacham ochel me'ad, zeh ra'ui lo. Person should eat not too much. Ve'lo yachaleinu elu beveito ha'shulchano. He should eat at home on a table. Ve'lo yachal b'chanut. He shouldn't eat it in the store. So eateries are out for a Talmud Chacham. Ve'lo b'shuk. And not in the marketplace, in the open air. Elu b'pnei tzorach gadol, unless there's a real need. People shouldn't see him eating and say, oh, look at the way he eats spaghetti with his hands or whatnot. In other words, the Rambam takes his Yerushalmi and says, it's not nice. He doesn't say, usser. But the Bavli makes us all go for that gas pipe. Number one, it says, everyone, not just the Talmud Chacham. Number two, it says that not only is it that you're a dog, like a dog eats on the way, you're pasul le'edut. And number three, the Gemara paskins that point of view. So how do we understand it? Are eateries out, where you grab your food and you start eating on the sidewalk? Or are eateries in? So, let's take Bruce's challenge and say, maybe it's not relevant today, it's then, it's not now. Well, who? Then they didn't have these eateries. And let's see how the Rishonim... Let's see, the fact that everyone does it doesn't make it right. I know many of my best friends speak Lashon Hara, it doesn't make it right. I'm just saying that the fact that everybody does it is not in and of itself a proof that something is either permissible or prohibited. And I say that in both ways. The fact that people have separate tablecloths at home for milchik and fleishik does not mean you need to have separate tablecloths for milchik and fleishiks in a world in which you don't eat off the table. Okay. Women do it, fine. Doesn't mean that that's what has to be done. And on the other hand, everyone does it. Doesn't necessarily mean it's mutter. People cheat on taxes. Doesn't mean it's mutter. People do many things. Not everyone is perfect. As a matter of fact, so far in this world, in my years, I have only seen the word perfection in one place. Where? Come on, guys. We've been learning together. In the dictionary. Doesn't exist. Except for God, I have not met God face to face. seen manifestations of God, of course, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I never met a perfect person. Yes?
I can actually think of a precedent that for drinking on the go,
yeah,
being okay. In Shoftim, Gideon was told by God, gather up as many soldiers as you can, take them to the pond,
yeah,
and watch what they do. And who did he tell Gideon to keep as his army? The guys who told him, says, take out a cup, fill it up, stand up, and drink like a man.
Good.
And if God says...
Excellent.
Good, then why should we say
that? That is a very, very interesting proof you brought from Sefer Shoftim with Gideon, sixth chapter. Very good question. It's a very big question, but I'll try to answer it very succinctly. It's very hard to bring proofs from a nevuah. A nevuah, a prophecy, was given only l'sha'ah, for that moment, lat l'dorot, for all time. The only navi, the only prophet that was given a nevuah that is applicable to us, is one. Moshe Rabbeinu. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it one time to someone, do this, it doesn't mean that from now on we have to do that. The Torah is obviously binding, because that was the only Navi that Hashem dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lidorot. But even within the Nevuah of Moshe, there's certain things that God told him to do that we don't do. Can you give me an example? Because they were again, Hora'at Sha'ah. They were only for that moment.
In the Torah?
In the Torah.
I mean like,
take the Korban Pesach, gentlemen. The Korban Pesach we have to bring. But not every part of the Korban Pesach they brought in Egypt we do, for example.
The blood and the doorpost.
Taking it on the 10th of the month and tying it to your bedpost. All those things were given for that moment. So Eliyahu was told to do something on Har HaKarmel, and Gideon was told to do this. It's very hard to bring proofs from a one-time event that was only a Hora'at Sha'ah. Having said that, it's an interesting proof. We should think about it later. And remind me, if we don't get to it, why that would be actually a proof for perhaps why it's okay to drink on the go, but we'll get to it.
My question was this, is there a concept of historical context in halacha?
Absolutely, there's a context of historical halacha. It was written at a certain time. It does not mean that history dictates halacha. In other words, you can say that the reason that the Rishonim were so makil on the sukkah that you only need two walls and a little bit for the third wall was because there wasn't enough wood in Eretz Yisrael. That does not mean that that's the reason why it's okay. What they did is they took out of the bookshelf in the back the deot that say it's okay, and they utilized it because of an historical problem that they had. It's very much like Rav Soloveitchik always liked to give the example. He said that invented gravity was sitting under a tree, and because he got mad at his wife, and an apple fell on him. And he started to think and pelpel. He said, oh, it must be gravity in the world. So today you cannot say, why is there gravity? But why is it that when I jump up, I fall down? Oh, it's because a guy went out and the apple fell on his head. No, that's not the reason. That's the historical context is when it was invented. But the reason is a scientific reason. We have to give a scientific reason. So it could be that at a certain point, there wasn't enough wood in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says that you have to make three walls for a sukkah. And the Rishonim said two walls and a little bit for the third. And the reason they utilized that point of view, which was always there, was because of an historical reason. But it's not that the historical reason created the law. Just because at a certain point in your life, you don't have wine for Kiddush, you say, oh, you know what, you don't really need wine for Kiddush. Rather, there's halachos of Kiddush, you learn it. What happens if you don't have wine? What's next? Friday night is hamotzi, Shabbos morning you go for the alcoholic beverages, and so on down the line. When do you utilize it? Because of an historical problem or an acute problem. But those laws are always there. So this law is on the books. And now we have kofix. So how do we deal with it? So with the Yerushalmi, we got no problem. Because it's very simple. First of all, Yerushalmi only limited it to who? Tamidei Chachamim. So we can say we're not Tamidei Chachamim. Finished. Out the door. Let's go drink coffee at kofix. Number two, the Yerushalmi never said it was usher. It said that it's not a nice thing. So even if you think you're a Talmud Chacham, I know many people that think so, so they don't have to necessarily say that it's usher. But the Bavli bothers us, because it says it about everyone, and you're disqualified for testimony. So let's see how the Rishonim, the first medieval scholars, understood what the Gemara says. And here we have, as we say in Hebrew, Mina Katzeh El HaKatzeh, from one side of the North Pole to the other side of the South Pole, as to how to understand this statement of the Gemara, that if you eat in public, you are like a dog, and you're disqualified for testimony. Yeah.
When the Bavli disagrees so strongly with Yerushalmi on this point, is that also a good case to show that in Babylonia, they simply had a different understanding of this compared to the Yerushalmi in Eretz Yisrael?
There are very various different machlokot between the Bavli and Yerushalmi on various issues. In this particular case, there is no machloket. The Yerushalmi just says it's a Talmid Chacham. The Bavli adds on to it everyone.
The question is why they do that.
Okay, that's a question you have to ask the Talmudic scholars that deal with the history of the Talmud. But from our perspective in Halacha, we have to understand what's the story. So Rashi, we all learn Gemara with Rashi. Says v'chena uchel bashul ko il ve'eno makpid al kvodo eno bos lizalzel ba'atzmo lihi pasel. He says that because a person does not conduct himself with dignity, therefore he's not embarrassed to also go ahead, give testimony, be totally and utterly eradicated by the defense lawyer. Big deal. Go home. An upright, dignified human being would be very bothered the day after he got drunk, that he went out on the street and he started doing crazy things, and perhaps he even, unfortunately, relieved himself in public. The next day he wakes up after he gets sober and says, oh my gosh, what did I do? But if you're not dignified and you don't care, you walk out of your house with your underwear on and your undershirt. So if you go to court and a guy like that gives testimony and they say to him, what are you talking about? You weren't there. You were in a different country. You're a liar. He says, so what? I'm a liar. Good night. Back home. Back to the scotch. So he says, a person that eats in the marketplace is like that guy who walks out of the street on in his underwear. He's not dignified enough to eat like a human being. So how can you trust his testimony? That's what Rashi says. Then basically, according to Rashi, if you eat in the marketplace, you take a falafel and you start walking down the street and eating it, you don't really care about your self-dignity and what people say about you. If you don't care about what people say about you, then if you're disqualified in court as a witness that lies his face off, you also don't care. So I love it. Call me a liar. I don't care. Call me a liar, a cheater. I don't care what you call me. I walk out in my underwear too. I don't care. I don't care. I know people in this world that really, truly don't care. Don't care what they say about them. Don't care about their self-dignity. Don't care about their... They don't care. They don't care. There's a guy right now in Israel that has not given his wife a get for 4 years, and he doesn't care. He's religious. He lives in a religion. He doesn't care what people say about him. Then we won't give you aliyahs. The Beis Din Paskind. We won't give you aliyahs. We won't count you for a minyan. I don't care.
But lying in court. But he might not do that.
Why not? I'm saying a guy who doesn't care about his self-dignity doesn't care that in court, they're going to call him a liar. If you care about your self-dignity and they say, hey, the papers came out, it turned out Bruce was a liar. Bruce is going to be very bothered by that because he's a dignified human being. So Rashi says, just like you don't care about that, you don't care about this. In other words, because you eat in the street, you're probably one of those people that are not dignified. The Tosfot, of course, doesn't like it, and he has a big question on Rashi, as you could see, that according to our Yerushalmi, it was only limited to a Talmud Chacham. So how do you make a correlation from the Talmud Chacham, it's not dignified to him, to every human being? That must not be the Pshat, says Tosfot. And he has a different Pshat. Second Pshat. Tosfot, name Rabbeinu Tam. The Hachamai Rishichotef Ochel. We're not talking about a guy who bought a falafel, paid for it, got his change, got his receipt. I put that in on purpose. His receipt said, thank you. I put that in on purpose as well. And starts eating his falafel.
With a bracha.
That's okay with a bracha. We're talking about a guy that's walking through the marketplace. What do you have in the marketplace?
Stands
of food. So what does he do? He doesn't buy anything. He says, time for lunch. So I can do two things. I can buy lunch, or I can get lunch for free. How do I get lunch for free? I'll just walk by the olive stand, put one in my mouth. The guy won't really care. Then I go by, I continue walking. There's an apple stand, I take one apple. The guy may scream a little bit, I take one bite out of it. Hey, don't take a bite! I won't do it again. Then he goes, takes a bite out of a pear. So Tosfos says, wait a minute. Im Tomar, Pshita the Puzzle, the Gazlan who? Why is he disqualified from the testimony? Because he's a Gazlan! He's stealing the olives, the orange, the apple! Says Tosfos, no! Yesh Tomar, Shechotef, Pachot, Mishav, Pruta. The guy doesn't really care that you take one olive out of his olive stands. It's less than a shavet pruta. It's less than even a penny. The inami shegazal davar sheino makpid alav. Perhaps he took something no one really cares that you take. And if you go in the shuk, I'm sure, and you've seen it, people walk around and you start grabbing a little, you know, a nut. They grab an olive. They taste. Did you get permission to taste? Did you get permission to taste? No. So that tells folks, who does that? Who walks around the street and eats whatever, a little bit here, a little bit there? A dog! So you see the way the Tosfot read it? He didn't say this is not dignified for a human being. No, he says, first of all, we're talking about not just the open mark. We're not talking about the open skies. What are we specifically talking about? The shuk. The marketplace. Number two, we're talking about a guy that's grabbing food from all the vendors. Then Tosfos goes on, very similarly, quoting another one of the Tosafists, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, Kigon sharach etzel ha-mochrim, ve-to'em mishel kulam me'at me'at, kilu ratzel liknot mihem, ve-nicha ha-ashta she-korin kerev, she-domo le-kerev, ochel kan me'at ve-kan me'at. Rabbeinu Eliyahu said, no, this guy's more sophisticated. Like Bennett said, he goes in, he goes, can I taste the olive?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Oh, very good. No, it's okay. He goes to the next guy, can I taste the olive? Sure. Takes a little bit. Okay. He never meant to buy it. He just wants lunch for free. Albeit, he's going to do it sophisticated. He's going to ask permission. The guy says, sure, taste an olive. See how you here, taste a little bit. You know, a guy goes before a flight. He wants to sleep well. He forgot to bring his sleeping pills with him. So he's in Ben Gurion Airport. He goes into the duty-free. He can act like a dignified human being, buy a little bottle of scotch, drink it, and he sleeps like a baby. Or he goes to the same duty-free. They have the places where you can taste. He goes, oh, that looks interesting. I'm thinking of buying it. Can I have a taste? Sure. They pour him a little bit. Makes a lechayim. Makes a shahako b'shem uve malchus. Ugh. Ganeden, but it's not my type, but thank you anyway. Walks down the next aisle, sees a nice lady there. How are you? I'm thinking of buying that vodka. Can I taste it? Sure. Takes out the cup. Oh, it tastes delicious. So we're not talking about a guy who's eating a falafel in public. What are we talking about? Either a guy that's taking food without permission, a little bit here, a little bit there. Obviously less than a shavet pruta. He's not a true goslin, but close to it. Or a guy that's lying to your face. He's not planning to buy any whiskey, but he's tasting from everyone a little bit. That's the kelev. That's the dog, and therefore he's disqualified. So therefore, if that would be the case, Kofix is fine. You can't go into Kofix and just say, can I taste a little coffee? You go in, you buy it, you pay for it, and everything's okay. According to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, Rabbeinu Tam, Kofix were off the hook. Yeah.
Is there any difference, say, when merchants know that people do this and they're hoping that this guy that's just nibbling along might actually like enough to buy it?
Absolutely. That's what Tosfos says. Lo makpid alav. People don't mind that people nibble.
I mean, they want them to.
They want them. Yes, but you're doing it. Buying. You're not doing it in order to buy it. You're doing it as a shita to eat.
I'm not going to buy it. They say, you know what?
So that's exactly why Tosfos says, domel kelev. This guy is, excuse me for saying so, he's not thinking of buying it. He never planned to buy it. But he wants a free lunch. So he can do two things. He can be a robber. He doesn't want to do that. So what does he do? He's sophisticated. He goes in, I'm thinking of buying. You know, words are cheap. Oh, you're thinking of buying.
He tells the merchant, I'm not planning on buying a thing. I'm the good merchant.
If you tell a merchant, in my humble opinion, I'm not planning to buy a thing in this store. I don't have any money on me. Can I taste your olives? The guy would throw you out head first, in my opinion. Even if they expect it, Tosfos says, this is not how a Jew asks. This is not. Again, if you're going in to taste, if you're going into a store to taste because you're thinking of buying, and you taste it and you decided it's not my type, that's fine. We're not talking about that here. But from our perspective, Kofix is in. As you go in, you buy your cup of coffee for your 5 shekel, you walk out, there's no problem.
Right.
Third interpretation. So Rashi said it's not dignified, period. Objectively. Out. A sign that you don't makpid on your kavod. We can today decide, is that relevant in a place where everyone eats an eateries and takes coffee to go and whatnot. But that's what Rashi said. Tosfos says, talking about a specific individual that's so sophisticated that he's stealing from everyone, but not truly stealing, just taking a little bit here, a little bit there. Third interpretation of Tosfot, we're now on the third from the left. Tosfos, b'shem Rabbeinu Tam. The ochel bashuk haino sha'ochel su'uda. The pot, dignayhu. The Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam, And Rabbeinu Korban Netanel on the Rosh says, Hainu pat achol suda kariyeh Hashem alechem. So comes along Rabbeinu Tam and says, this is not talking about a guy that's drinking a coffee to go. What are we talking about? A guy who's eating a bona fide meal to go. In other words, you can't eat a falafel with bread to go. But a coffee, you can. So that's something you eat on the go. Potato chips, you eat on the go. An apple, you eat as you walk. You do not eat a proper meal as you walk. So just putting it into our world, we think a sandwich is something you do eat on the go. But let's take it to something else. If someone would give you a plate of chicken and potatoes and vegetables,
you'd sit down and eat it.
You would sit down and eat it. Imagine if this person, instead of sitting down to eat it, he walks around. How is a modern man, a postmodern man walk around today? So he has his plate in his hand. He needs to eat it. And he needs to have his phone in his other hand because God forbid he's going to miss an email. So how does he do? He eats with his hands. Is that the dignified way that a human being conducts himself? That's disgusting. That the kind of guy you're going to take to make giving testimony? A meal, you eat at a meal. You sit down and you eat a meal. That's what human beings do. A dog eats on the go. We're not talking about a snack. What are we talking about? A meal. So again, he uses the word pot because in times of the Gemara, in the times of Tosfos, people had a lot of bread and a little piece of fleishik. Today, if you put it into our terms, we take the same Tosfos and say, well, maybe pot does still have that high degree. Maybe not, because we do eat sandwiches on the go, what Bruce said earlier. But quite frankly, we're talking about a meal. So this whole Gemara is talking about a meal. So again, Rashi said, not dignified out. Person eats on the way. Tosfos, first interpretation said, this guy is so close to being a robber. He's a sophisticated human being that due respect, I can't stand looking at him. He goes into the shuk and he steals from everyone an olive, a little apple, a little this, a little that. By the end of the time, he walks from Machane Yehuda from one side to the other. He's so stuffed, but he didn't pay for one thing. And the third interpretation of Tosfot is, we're only talking about a meal. We're not talking about grabbing something for a go. The Maharsha was not a Rishon. The Maharsha, who's an Acharon, the Maharsha says, Shadom lekelev she'in mezano matzui bebayit v'ochel gam bashuk im nimtza lo sham. We're talking about a dog that doesn't have food at home because he doesn't have a home. So he eats outside. Therefore, according to the Maharsha, if you do have food at home, but you decided to go to the eatery and eat there, probably is okay. So to sum up for today, gentlemen, we saw that the Yerushalmi says it's not nice for a Talmid Chacham to eat in public, and that's what the Rambam paskins. So either we're not Talmidei Chachamim, and I think we can go to sleep saying that. And even if you go to sleep saying, I am a Talmid Chacham, as Bart Simpson used to sing, I am so great, I am so great, then you could say, okay, it's not nice, but it's all right. However, the Bavli said, whoever eats in the marketplace is Doma Lekelef. So, not only is he Domo Lekelev, he's disqualified for testimony. And we saw different interpretations of how to understand it. Rashi said it's not dignified to eat in public. Finished. Not dignified to eat in public. It's like going out in the street, in your underwear and your undershirt. Comes along, tells us and says, we're not talking about a guy who paid for his food and ate in public. We're talking about a guy who goes into Machane Yehuda and steals a little bit from everyone. Now, it's not stealing because it's a little olive. It's less than a shavar pruta. But that's not the way a dignified human being acts. If he wants to buy something and taste it, that's fine. But if he's not planning to buy it at all, because he has no money in his pocket, that's disgusting. That's wrong. According to the Tosfos, we have no problem. We pay for our food and kofix, we're good. According to the third interpretation of Tosfos, it's not talking about a snack but a meal, we're also okay. And according to the fourth interpretation, talking about a guy who doesn't have food at home. We have food at home. So we're probably okay according to most Rishonim. But the Gemara stares us in the face. Ha'ochel bashuk doma lekelef. Is it the right thing to do? So we'll have to see next week how this is codified lahalocha and how this relates to kofix. I'm just telling everyone around the table that the discussion does not end here. The reason it doesn't end here is because once we get through this, we have a second question we have to deal with. If you start eating here and you end down the block, do you have to make two brachas, one bracha? What do you do? That is a sophisticated question that if we get out of it alive with clarity, we're in good standing. It's going to kill us much more than being called a dog. But we'll get to it all in good time. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you, Yeshua.
Now, Bruce, before I go, I think...